Our study tonight out of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, the believer's equipping to produce righteous living. Where Romans chapter 7, 14 to 25 expose the utter helplessness of even a believer in himself to achieve righteous living due to his sin nature, Romans 8, 1 to 11 provides news of victoriously righteous living by God's grace. We then view Romans 8, 1 to 11 to identify the believer's spiritual equipping by God to produce righteous living. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the sin nature, that's the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the body, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, or that's the sin nature, do mind the things of the sin nature, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the sin nature, or functioning by it, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that is dwelling in you. Before expounding Romans 8, 1 to 11, we need to handle a very serious textual and theological problem in verse 1. In Romans 8, 1, the King James Version claims that there's no condemnation to those who are not only in Christ, but who also do not walk after the sin nature, but after the Spirit. However, that claim implies that when a believer sins, and of course 1 John 1:10 claims that all believers have done that, then he loses his salvation because he comes under condemnation. But that's clearly countered like passages like John chapter 5, verse 24. You'll remember in John chapter 5, verse 24, our Lord Jesus Christ himself talked about eternal security when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." The word "passed" is in the past perfect, and that means he has in the past permanently passed in such a way that he doesn't go back. You've actually crossed out of the realm of death over into the realm of eternal life, according to Jesus. So Jesus taught unconditional salvation security. It's one of the wonderful doctrines that we hold to as a church. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is a problem there. The last part that says, "Who not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The solution is noted that the early, both the Alexandrian and the Western manuscript text types. Remember, there are four text types: Alexandrian, Western, Byzantine, and Caesarean. Well, both the Alexandrian and Western text types have the verse end with Jesus. In other words, "There's no, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," period. That's the way the verse ends with those manuscripts. And the phrases, "who walk not after the flesh, and but after the Spirit," were borrowed in two stages, each phrase per stage, from Romans chapter 8, verse 4, by later copyists. It's interesting, the New Testament copyists were not nearly as careful as the Old Testament copyists, but to offset that, we have thousands of New Testament manuscripts so we can check it. And that's what helps us out here. So We do not believe that verse 1 goes on and says, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We believe, rather, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. And then it goes right on to verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In fact, that actually flows better. The thought is more consistent. So we believe that Paul established that there is simply no eternal condemnation to those who are saved in Jesus Christ. So, Romans 8, 1 and 2 accordingly teaches that there's no eternal condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been saved by faith in him and his atonement for sin in their behalf. For the law of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus has made the believer positionally free from the law of sin and death. Now, we have to say positionally because the Bible does say in 1 John 1:10, if we say that we as believers haven't sinned, we lie and the truth is not in us. So all of us, as even as the believers, have sinned. So when we're free from the law of sin and death, that's our position in Christ. The new man that is created in you when you accept Christ as your Savior is actually immune to sin. That's why when the rapture occurs, the part of you that goes to heaven to be with the Lord is that new nature. That new nature goes up. That new nature never sins. It's the old sin nature that sins. The new nature doesn't. It's immune to sin. God created it that way. And that's why in 1 John it says, he that is born of God doesn't sin. He's talking about the new nature. The new nature doesn't sin at all. And that's a wonderful truth. But anyway, Paul explained that where the law of condemnation could not justify anyone but only condemn him, Romans 8, 3 with chapter 3, verse 30, because it was weak through the sin nature in man that could not keep that law, God in sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that's in the body. That condemnation by Christ's atonement equips the believer to fulfill the righteousness of God's law in his life as he orders his life in reliance upon God the Holy Spirit, not on his sin nature. Those two verses, I've latched onto them. They're absolutely priceless, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the sin nature. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the body, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, if we order our lives not after the sin nature, but after the Spirit of God, then we actually fulfill the righteousness of God. It's entirely possible. In fact, the normal Christian life should be a life lived without sinning. This is why John writes in 1 John chapter 2, these things have I written unto you that ye sin not. But if any man does sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But God wants us to live without sinning. That's one of the reasons why he saved us. He wants us to live in this earth, in this body that still has a sin nature. He wants us to live above sin, without sinning. And that's a wonderful hope that we have. Now, there is a tremendous contrast between living by the sin nature and living by God the Holy Spirit. And this contrast is presented in verses 5 through 8. And since we've established in chapter 7 that even a believer can live by his sin nature or the new nature, this can be true of a believer as well. If a believer is living a carnal life, he's living in this realm. That contrast is as follows. In verse 5, those who live according to the sin nature set their minds on the things of the sin nature, where those who live according to the Holy Spirit set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are sometimes even Christians that we know, when you try to talk about spiritual things to them, it's like a drawing a blank. They're professing Christians, but it's almost like, what? And all they want to talk about is something that is in the secular world around them. Maybe the new bicycle they bought, or whether they like honey or maple syrup that's grown in Connecticut or Massachusetts, all these other subjects, but nothing about things of the Lord. So it's interesting, those who live in the sin nature set their minds on it. Then those who set their minds on the things of the sin nature live in spiritual death in their walk. For those who set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit live in spiritual life in their walk. Now, the death that he's talking about, death is separation, and it means separation from God. They're separate from God. They don't have any connection with fellowship with the Lord. For those who walk by means of the Spirit, there's a wonderful connection. There's a fellowship with God. There's a closeness there. And because of that, there's also closeness with others who fellowship with the Lord. And then number three, the mind of the sinful nature is at enmity with God, or enmity against God. For it is neither subject to the law of God, neither is it able to be subject to that law. You know, it's interesting. I've talked with believers who have actually told me, I want to do that which is right, but everything I do, I can't do it. And they're right, because they're trying to live the Christian life in the power of the sin nature. And the sin nature is not interested in living a righteous life at all. It just wants to live according to the lust of the sin nature. So, and it's at enmity with God. There's no closeness with God there at all. Also, to the contrary, the mind of the Spirit is in close fellowship with the Lord and is fully able to be subject to the law of God. In fact, a believer who walks with the Lord is eager to be subject to God and to obey the Lord. And then the mind of the sin nature keeps those who live by the sin nature from even being able to please God. That's what Romans 8:8 says. However, the mind of the Holy Spirit keeps those who live by the Spirit always pleasing to the Lord. What a difference. If we're living by means of the sin nature, we can't please God. We're at enmity with God. There's no fellowship there. Where our minds are set on things of the world, and we're not even interested in things of God. Where if we're living by the Spirit of God, it's just the opposite. You love the things of the Lord, the close to the Lord. There's fellowship, there's peace, there's life, there's vigor. Well, Paul noted that the believer is positionally not in the sin nature, but in the Holy Spirit, if it be that the Holy Spirit indwells him. For if he does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to God as a real Christian. I've run into people who are professing Christians and known them for years and have yet to see any evidence whatsoever of the Spirit of God in their lives. No love, peace, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, none of that. It's just gone. It's not there. And so it makes me wonder, maybe they're tares. I don't know. Now, if Christ is in the believer, though his earthly body is dead due to sin, and that the atonement of Christ has not yet been applied to the body, we know in Romans 8:23 that the redemption of the body is yet future. The believer's spirit is nevertheless alive due to righteousness. For this reason, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead and who also indwells the believer will also make our mortal bodies as believers alive at the rapture of the church. You ever wondered, how is the Lord going to change our bodies? Well, if you are a believer and you're alive on the earth, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit, Spirit of God, in fact, he's God who's living in you, he's going to, by his power, he's going to change your body. We know that because the Spirit of God is the one of the Trinity who actually raised the body of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And if he raised Jesus from the dead in power and in glory, he's going to raise our bodies from the dead. And even if we go home to be with the Lord, and let's say the body is consumed, maybe it's cremated, doesn't make any difference. Maybe we die at sea and we have to be buried at sea, and the body deteriorates in the ocean, the molecules spread, you know, over many, many miles and so forth. It's not a problem to God. The God who called creation into existence out of nothing, he'll bring everything back and raise the believer in a split second of time. So that's a wonderful hope that we have. We have the hope of a tremendous resurrection no matter what happens. And that because of the Spirit of God. So where the sin nature sets its mind on its own things, living in spiritual death at enmity with God and unable to please the Lord, the believer is not only under any positional eternal condemnation, but he's also indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so that by reliance on the Spirit, he can set his mind on the things of God, live in spiritual life, in fellowship with God, and actually please the Lord. That's a tremendous truth. I can actually be pleasing to God. True believers thus have the blessed hope of facing the redemption of the body at the rapture by the Holy Spirit, who indwells them and who raised Jesus from the dead. So may we believers know that we are not under condemnation. We don't have to be afraid of losing our salvation just because we have committed an act or acts of sin. We have eternal security. But we're indwelt by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that we might live righteously in blessing by relying on the Spirit. But if we live by the sin nature, we will be carnally minded, we'll live in death, we'll be at enmity with God, and we just won't please Him. So may we thus rely on the Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, the subject that we covered last week of how helpless we are to live a godly life and by means of the sin nature. And then the lesson that we have tonight on living powerfully by means of the Holy Spirit, it's extremely basic, but it's one of the most important lessons for the church in this era. In Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22, where Jesus predicted the current era of church history in which we live, that's the Laodicean church, one of the big emphases that he had in that passage was on the need for people to be relying on the Holy Spirit. There are many dear Christians today who are doing their dead level best to discipline themselves to live for Christ. And what they're doing is disciplining an old sin nature that can't do that. And that's why they're living frustrated lives. This is why if you look in a Christian book catalog, you'll find many, many books on finding fulfillment in God, finding happiness in God. The reason is Christians are not fulfilled, they're not happy because they're trying to force themselves to live a godly life, and you can't do it. It's trying to make a mouse act like an elephant. He can't do it. He's not constructed that way. And the sin nature can't function with power. What we need to do is back off, rely on the Lord, rely on the power of the Spirit of God, and then God lives Himself through us. One of my favorite verses, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's in the body, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have to get to the point where we just relax and rely on God and let God live Himself through us. And when that happens, it's just sheer dynamite in the Christian life. The Christian life suddenly becomes easy. From the human perspective, it becomes a delight. And there's peace, there's settledness, there's stability, and there's joy, all of that. But that's what we need. We need to rely on the Spirit of God. To do that, we have to come to the end of ourselves where we recognize that we cannot live the Christian life ourselves. We have to rely on the Lord.